Good morning, everyone. It's so different to be here on a Sunday morning, and it's just always so astonishing to me how this is the same place, and I think I've been coming here maybe missing one or two weeks, maybe a few more than that, over 25 years, and it's always different. This room is always different, and we're all here doing the same thing. And it's just kind of astonishing. When I came in this morning, it was so empty, and it was just, I don't know, it was so beautiful, it was so quiet, and I rarely get to be here in the mornings, except during Zazen Kais, and usually you get in at 8 o'clock and it's like jammed and people are bumping into each other in the cabinet, and you know, it's wonderful to see so many people, but the energy in the space is just really kind of tight. And walking in this morning, it was just so soft and gentle and open, and the wind was blowing and there were birds, which I never hear here at night. You know, it was actually before the traffic started, and it reminded me, for some reason, you know, I grew up in the city, and when I was a kid, and just the sounds of just a little bit of traffic in the morning with the birds and the breeze, and I don't know, I just was thinking a lot about my family and all the different rooms in the house, and driving down to the Lower East Side with my parents, and the city was open early in the morning, and I mean, it was quiet and empty. It was just, anyway. It was a rich morning, and then gradually person by person, it's like astonishing now, it's like full. Anyway, for some reason what was coming to me a lot was that I went to see this really beautiful little show that a friend of mine who's a painter and an illustrator had. It was on Monday, a show on the Upper East Side, and her work is just really kind of extraordinary. It's very surreal, but it's incredibly sensitive and delicate and very Edward Gorey, and it's kind of just amazing. And she'll take a lot of 16th and 17th century drawings, and then she'll just do what she calls an intervention. She'll just shift something slightly strange. There'll be all these beings in top hats and a formal thing, and then all of a sudden one of them will be an alligator or a crocodile, but you won't notice it. Or this one she did, all these little mice, like beautifully rendered mice, 5 of them. One was on a cracker, one was on a long cracker, one was on a piece of toast wrapped in bacon with a little caviar on the back and a little spear with an olive on top. But so beautiful, I mean, they're beautiful. And then it's like all of a sudden, it's like, what am I looking at? But she had this one series on the wall, and I don't know, I call it like The Room, and it's just these small drawings of like the size of, smaller than the size of a paperback page. And they're all in gray tones, like the ocean on a stormy day, that kind of grays. And it's just this room with a single bed, and it looks like it could be a room in a sanatorium or some kind of home, or maybe it's where people are locked up because they're crazy. You're not really sure. There's just this little bed, tiny window in the back, this little single light bulb hanging from the ceiling, and a chair. And then each one is slightly different. You know, one, there's this like bird laid out in a state of ennui on the bed, and then the next one is the crocodile, like, and then another one just has this rope hanging from the ceiling, and the rest of the room is empty. And then there's this one, it was like this whole room of stripes, the floor, the ceiling, the bed, everywhere going in different directions, and then this just pipe across the ceiling with this snake wrapped up, looking down. And then in one it was just empty, but there was like the stormy sea above the bed. All there was just, so it was just like this room kind of made me think in a way of coming into this room, like it's always the same, but all the different states of mind and states of being that I've gone through in this room, and everybody else's states of mind and being in this room. And then I was just thinking how every time you sit down and do zazen, it's like going into the room, you know? It's like you open the door into the room and you just never know what you're gonna find there. Anyway. What I had actually thought I might talk a little bit about today is a time. I can't see this page at all from up here, so. And it's just something that's been really coming up for me a lot lately, and, you know, as many of you who do know me at all know that I spend a lot of my time commuting because I live in Staten Island. My studio is in Jersey City. My jobs are in the Zendo or in Manhattan or in Brooklyn. So I spend a lot of time seemingly going from here to there and from this to that. And it's really easy for me to fall into this feeling that in terms of time, I never really have enough of it, or that I'm running out of it. This kind of vague feeling that if I'm here, maybe I should be there. Or if I had spent a little bit less time doing this, then I would be better at doing that. And this often, you know, comes up particularly around my work. As a potter, probably most artists struggle with this, but this constant feeling of I never really have enough time in the studio, and on some level everything else can feel like it's an intervention or an interruption. But it's not only that, you know, it can be how I feel about the Zendo. I don't have enough time as much as I'd like to spend here. Relationships, I don't have as much time as I'd like to cultivate and see people. Reading, like, just studying many things. So, you know, on one hand, I can just see this as the expression of the modern condition, and it's not really unique to me at all. There's just, I think for all of us, so much to choose from at any given time, you know, and it's like, where do you put your attention? There's so much to see, to hear, to take care of, to respond to, that it's very easy to forget, you know, probably the essential tenet of our practice, which is to actually just come back and be where you are. To just simply really be where I am when I'm there. And just take a few breaths and really do that. Everything looks different. So, amongst other things, one of the most important things I realize when I'm starting to feeling scattered that way is that I need to be sitting more. That's a sure little wake-up bell. But I think, you know, it's not only just that. I think I think there can also be questions of trust involved. Trust or lack of trust of oneself, or I should say of myself, of what is actually happening in my life. You know, it's a very fine line into finding myself separated from what is happening and what I believe or think should be happening. And we hear that again and again and again. But speaking for myself, I can't hear it enough. And I certainly can't see it enough. I mean, the difference is so subtle and imperceptible in a way. But in actuality, it's really the difference between heaven and hell, which can sound extreme. But actually, it is extreme. You know, and I've come to really, I've been prodded into really appreciating that and seeing that, to not to downplay it. You know, it has not been natural for me to just enjoy my life. To enjoy myself. And it can be regardless of what's going on. I can really subterfuge simply being okay with how things are, or how I am. It's like, if only if I was more disciplined, I could be thinner. You know, if I was more confident, I'd be better at everything. If I was more studious, I'd be a better teacher. If I taught less, I'd be a better potter. If I made less pots, I'd be at the Zendo more. I mean, you know, it's just so forth. So what is actually on a certain level so habitual and familiar, because this is normal. I mean, that's sort of ground zero normal in a way. Is this sense of that I should somehow be someone else. And it's not like there's a particular person that I think I should be, but it's a fantasy combination of a great artist, a great action hero, maybe a musician, a great social activist. You know, wherever I may feel that I'm lacking at a certain moment is exactly when I think I should be the perfect embodiment of that aspect of myself. Which when you say it and you look at it, it sounds crazy. But actually, it's quite normal. And you know, I guess after many years of practice and therapy, I've come to see that this is dukkha. And you know, I've heard about what dukkha is since I was 18. I was reading The Four Noble Truths. Dukkha, that thing, that suffering. But this is what we can say is creating a problem where maybe there doesn't need to be one, or actually isn't one. So it's actually how I'm seeing that's creating what I'm calling a problem. And we can know about this way before we start to realize it. And the longer I practice, I realize that it's a constant revelation, and it's our lives. And with each moment of realization of when I'm doing this, just here, it's okay. So depending on my point of view, I can see how various aspects of my life are taking away from each other, depleting each other. But it might also be possible, even though I don't really do this very often, but I can see that it is possible to see how actually they're creating and shaping each other. To make it the distinct life that it is. But either way, it's my life, and it's what's happening in any given moment. And actually, the rest is irrelevant. So, in our practice, you know, I can begin to drop some of the opinions and the judgments of what I am or what I'm not doing, but actually just try to really engage where I am, to trust where I am, and to trust myself where I am. And when I can do that, there is no problem, because whatever is happening as karmically it's meant to be happening. Now, that's not to say that it's always easy or pleasant or not difficult. And it can be sitting in traffic, could be teaching, could be the zendo, it could be in the studio, it could be in relationship. You know, and our lives are not easy, but that doesn't mean they're wrong. And there's a very qualitative difference between these aspects of experiencing ourselves in the world. It's not being swamped in this overriding existential sense of angst or anxiety or hidden shame that's either underlying or overlying everything. You know, it's like I could so identify with the crocodile and the bird in Ruth's room on that bed, just lying in the gray room in this state of complete ennui, like, you know, it's very familiar. So, you know, for me, my practice now is to actually look for those feelings and to take those very feelings as signposts or guideposts. You know, in the forest of one's life, as markers on the trail. I really need to sit down and just go here and let this unfold. What is this feeling? And to let myself notice when I'm having a feeling, that's the biggest thing, because, you know, that's what I like to not acknowledge is happening. You know, like, I like to feel like everything's actually okay, everything's fine, you know, blah, 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 maybe going on and what, but it's all fine. You know, I think there's, you know, this fear that if I actually told people what was going on, everybody would run. And I might run. But actually, it may be that the opposite would happen. But to me, this is the true unknown in what would be a lifetime's expedition. And Zazen makes this journey, this expedition, possible. And dare I say, also enjoyable. You know, speaking for myself, I can get very attached to the pain and to just, like, if it's not hard and I'm not upset or blah, 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 it's not real. You know, but actually, it's okay to enjoy oneself and to enjoy one's life. So, you know, Zazen really is where we can get a taste of this, to see that, oh, this is possible. Because it's here that we can experience what it is to love, to forgive, and to make space for ourselves and for the world. And then it takes other people and maybe a therapist to teach us how to take it from the cushion into the world. So I wish everybody good journeys. May we try to make them a little bit more enjoyable and bearable and fruitful for ourselves and each other.